Hello.
Scared the living daylights out of me.
I'm waiting for my
Hello and welcome to another episode, episode 55 of Aprender Inglés con Reza y Craig.
How are you, Craig?
I'm very well, thank you.
Are you sure? You don't look that well.
No, I'm fine. Okay. I've just had a bit of a surprise, a bit of a shock. If you are a new listener, if this is your first time with us here, welcome. I'm Craig.
And I'm Reza.
And we're going to help you grow your grammar, vocalize your vocabulary, and perfect your pronunciation.
Oh, you're a poet, Craig.
In this episode, we're speaking about connectors, connecting devices, those words like even though, however, although, in spite of, that help connect words together. And there are some shopping expressions if you are going shopping this summer in the UK or an English-speaking country, and more weekly wind-ups. But first, Reza, maybe we should speak about Patreon, our Patreon campaign.
Yes.
And explain a little what's that about. Do you want to explain it?
No, I think you should, Craig, because you manage the technical side of things much better than I do.
Well, it's Patreon is a program that we have started if you would like to support this podcast. Because, as you know, listeners, we're now making one of these podcasts every week, normally released on Sunday evening around 8 o'clock Spanish time. And because we're releasing them more frequently, we're asking you to support us with a donation. As little as $1 or €1 could help us continue with this podcast and increase the quality of it. So if you're interested in sponsoring us, please go to patreon.com/inglespodcast. And Patreon is spelt P-A-T-R-E-O-N. patreon.com/inglespodcast. And because so many of you have been asking us for full transcriptions of every podcast, when we reach €100, that will give us enough money to pay somebody to write our transcriptions for each show. So each patron will then receive a full transcription.
Craig, I think it's very important to stress that point, that the money received from the donations is not for our pockets. It's to be able to pay to get a transcription of the episode. It's not for us to make any money. It's to make it easier for you listeners to follow.
Exactly, exactly. It's going towards paying so that you can have a transcription for each episode. So we have some listener feedback, Reza, and the first piece of feedback is from Yolanda, who sent us an audio message.
And the last question I want to make, yes, make, is do you know one page or tool or on the internet in which we can correct or all our writing without S, sorry. I found Grammarly, but you have to pay some plans, and it's free. It is free, but it isn't free. It's a little free in some cases, but if you want to know another alternatives or your mistakes are explained, it is impossible if you don't pay. But at the moment, I need overall for the exam. Okay, then I say bye and see you soon. And thank you very much. Bye. Kisses.
Well, thank you very much, Yolanda, for sending in your question. Reza, did you hear anything that we can help Yolanda with in the question? Did she make any mistakes?
Yes, she did make a mistake, which was with the word make. Yolanda, it's better to say to ask a question. You said make. Ask a question is correct.
Right. And your question was how can you get your writing corrected online? And you spoke about Grammarly, which I've heard of, but I'm not very familiar with this website. I haven't used it. But I have used italki.com, which is an online marketplace, and I think it's similar to Grammarly, but it's more for studying languages for free and also paying teachers. And if you go to inglespodcast.com/Kevin, you can listen to an interview I did recently with Kevin Chen, who's the co-founder of Italki. And I asked him that question. I asked him, on your website, can people have their writing corrected? And he said, yes, there is a free service that you can use at italki.com. But he said also, and something I agree with, it's much better to pay a teacher to get your writing corrected, especially if it's for an exam. Now, I know it's difficult. I know some people don't have money to spend on correcting writing, but I think it's a lot more effective and you're guaranteed good professional feedback from a professional teacher if you pay for it. And on Italki, you do have different levels for different budgets. So you have anything from 5 or 8 euros an hour up to 30 or 35 euros an hour. So you can choose your teacher depending on how much money you have. So you could try the free service on Italki. If you're not happy with it, then I suggest that you find a teacher that is in your budget, depending on how much you can spend. Moving on to our second piece of feedback from Javier T. from Barcelona, who I'd like to say hello to. So hello, Javier. He's studying English in Scotland at the moment. And Javier says, currently I'm living in Scotland because I want to improve my English. And I just want to let you know that your podcasts are very funny and they're really helping me to improve and progress in my big challenge.
Well, thank you very much, Javier.
Thank you very much. That's a lovely compliment. Javier is learning to speak and understand English and he sounds very determined to reach his goal, accomplish his goal, lograr o conseguir su meta. How do you say determined in Spanish?
Resuelto?
Resuelto.
Resuelto,
yeah.
Yeah, resuelto.
Very determined to reach his goal and to fulfill his ambition. So good luck, and I hope you're enjoying everything in Scotland, Javier. We also have a hello from Ricardo, who says, hello, Rez and Craig. My name is Ricardo. I'm an IT teacher in a vet school in Madrid.
That's interesting.
Is that, I mean, when he says vet school, is that like a, like he's for animals? Like a veterinary school?
Or that's what I'm presuming. I don't know, but I presume so.
He says VET, so I'm assuming he's studying veterinary medicine.
I presume.
He says, I discovered your website and podcasts 7 months ago and I've listened to all of them. What a masochist. Well, I practice my listening and I learn in each episode some grammar, vocabulary, etc. One of my resolutions for this year is to improve my English and finally my aim is to pass the FCE exam. Well, Ricardo, if you go to inglespodcast.com/pass FCE, you'll find some podcasts that may help you in your studies for the FCE exam. And we also have a CD for sale on mansioningles.com called New Mansion First for the 2015 FCE exam this year. And you can find that at mansioningles.com/CD_first.htm. Thanks for your work, says Ricardo. I think it encourages people who study on their own, like me, to keep practicing. Ricardo says, I have joined Verbling and Italki platforms 1 month ago, but I don't get talking with anybody. Can you help him with that, Reza?
Well, if it's 1 month ago, I would say I joined, past simple, not present perfect.
Exactly. I joined 1 month ago. Remember to use the past simple with ago. And he also said, I don't get talking with anybody. Maybe it's better to say, I haven't spoken to anyone yet, with the present perfect. I haven't spoken to anyone yet. And again, he's referring to free services, the same as Yolanda. I'll keep on trying. Well, yes, keep trying on those platforms. Try at different times of the day. Sometimes it's better to try late at night, sometimes early in the morning to find people in America, for example, in the United States to practice with. And another site you could try for free speaking practice is busuu.com, B-U-S-W.com, B-U-S-U-U. And hopefully I'll be interviewing someone from Busuu very soon to get more information about their platform. Finally, there's a question from Ricardo, who says, in the FCE exam, is it recommended to use idioms? Are idioms recommended in the exam? Is it a positive thing, or maybe the examiner can think that you have learned the idioms by heart? He's speaking about the speaking and the writing part of the exam. What's your opinion about it?
My opinion is that a few idioms correctly used are a good thing in the exam. But if you use a lot, it's not a good thing.
Exactly.
Because then it does sound prepared and it sounds like you've just memorized them and it's obvious that you just put them in to try and get points in the exam. But it might have the opposite effect. It might sound very artificial and therefore they will have to deduct points from you. So I would say an expression which Craig used in an episode not long ago, use them sparingly.
Sparingly.
Do you remember you said that? Sparingly.
Yeah.
Just enough, not too much.
Yeah. So yeah, use them by all means, use idioms, but don't overdo it. Don't do it too much. Moving on to our grammar section, and this episode we'd like to speak about connecting, linking devices and connecting words such as but, even though, although, however, in spite of, despite, on the one hand, on the other hand, etc. Now, we spoke about some of these linking words in inglespodcast.com/32, if you remember, Reza.
Yep.
But let's have another look at these linking words. For example, if I say to you, Craig's on a diet, he can't lose weight. How would you say that with but?
Craig's on a diet, but he can't lose weight.
And that's very true. I can't lose weight. Try the same sentence with even though.
Even though Craig's on a diet, he can't lose weight.
Exactly. Even though I'm on a diet, I can't lose weight. You could also use although. I think it's exactly the same, isn't it? Although I'm on a diet, I can't lose weight.
Oh, even though it's just a little bit more emphatic to emphasize the contrast, that's all.
Yeah. So even though and although, aunque in Spanish, right?
Yeah.
And of course, but is pero. Try the same one, Reza, with in spite of and despite.
So, in spite of or despite, they're the same meaning. Despite Craig being on a diet, he can't lose weight.
Mm-hmm.
So, ing, being.
ing, for both of those, right? Ing, in spite of and despite.
Yeah. You could have a noun as well. For example, I could say something like, despite Craig's diet, he can't lose weight, for example. But I think in this case, it's better to say despite Craig being on a diet. But one thing you cannot have with despite or in spite of is subject and verb. You can't. Not subject and verb. Only ing form of verb.
So what would be an example with subject and verb?
Even though or although, as you said earlier.
Okay.
Even though Craig is, we got the verb to be, and Craig is the subject. Craig is on a diet, he can't lose weight.
Okay. Okay.
You cannot say despite Craig plus is. You can't do that.
So in spite of and despite, a pesar de, in Spanish. A pesar de. However.
Aha, however, however.
Aha, however, however.
Trickier. I would say it this way. Craig is on a diet, full stop, new sentence. However, comma, he can't lose weight.
Sin embargo. Craig's on a diet, I'm on a diet, full stop. However, I can't lose any weight. Yeah.
full stop, you said, with two sentences, two separate sentences, with however in between the two ideas. The first idea is Craig's on a diet. The second idea is he can't lose weight. We put however in the middle after a full stop.
On the one hand, on the other hand.
Aha. Uh-huh. Well, I would say that it's a slightly different meaning. I wouldn't use that with your example because it's not really a question of that. I would say, for example, on the one to answer Ricardo's question, I think it was earlier.
Yes.
On the one hand, using idioms is a very good idea. But on the other hand, overusing them, using them too much, is a bad idea in the example.
So that's really, on the other hand, is por otro lado.
Yes.
Por otro lado.
So I changed the example because to talk about your diet, Craig, not working, on the one hand, the other hand, doesn't really work. Because on the one hand and on the other hand, as far as I'm concerned, are to talk about a good and bad aspect of the same action or situation.
Mm-hmm.
So the situation or action or issue is using idioms. Yes, it has a good side and it has a bad side. That's on the one hand. On the other hand, it's different for however, although, etc. They can be for two separate actions. Like Craig's on a diet, that's one action. And the other action is he doesn't lose weight. They're two separate actions.
Absolutely, yeah. Let's do some practice and give some practice to you listening out there. So, Reza, I'm going to give you half of a sentence with a connecting device or linker. Just wait a second or two to give the people listening a chance to finish the sentence, and then you come in with an ending to the sentence. So here's the first one. The film had great special effects, but...
the acting wasn't very good.
Next one. She wanted to be a singer. However...
she had a weak voice.
Very good. Next one. I refused to take the teaching job despite the fact that...
it was well paid.
We didn't speak about despite the fact that.
No. Aha, we've thrown it in. I wonder, did the listeners notice that we used the subject and verb? Despite the fact that it is well paid. It is well paid, subject and verb. Yes, not ing, because...
but I can say, yeah. I refuse to take the teaching job despite it being well paid.
Yes, you could.
Yeah.
Yeah. But if you say despite the fact that, then you use a subject and verb.
Right.
But if you just say despite, then you don't use subject and verb. You use ing.
Mm-hmm. On the one hand, the meal was extremely good, but...
I could add, on the other hand, it was expensive.
Yeah, it was an expensive meal. Yeah, expensive restaurant.
You can sometimes people, Craig, don't you think, put but and on the other hand together?
They do, yes.
You don't have to, but sometimes you hear but, on the other hand, beside each other.
Mm-hmm. Let's do one more. In spite of feeling too tired to go out after work...
I got dressed and hit the streets.
Hit the streets.
Yeah.
Hit the barrio. Okay. Last one. Although I'd never been to Granada before...
as soon as I arrived, I felt at home.
Yes. Very nice. Good. Well, I hope you've practiced with us and that you have a better understanding of these connecting devices. Moving on to vocabulary, and do you remember John's question about three episodes ago? Juan from Buenos Aires, who's going to California, Reza, do you remember him?
About directions?
Yeah, he asked two or three things connected to travel vocabulary. And he asked, for example, how to arrive somewhere by car, directions, which we spoke about in inglespodcast.com/52. He also asked about how to order in a restaurant, which we spoke about in inglespodcast.com/54. Today, we're going to speak about how to shop, which was his final question. Now, we spoke about shopping for clothes in inglespodcast.com/19. And in inglespodcast.com/47, we spoke about the difference between shoppers, customers, consumers, and we looked at expressions such as a bar of chocolate, a tube of toothpaste, a carton of milk, etc. So today I thought we could look at some different expressions connected to shopping. Imagine, Reza, you are in London and you're looking for a shop, such as a shoe shop or a supermarket. How would you ask somebody, a stranger, how would you ask, imagine I'm a stranger and you want to ask me where the shoe shop is.
Excuse me, could you tell me where the nearest shoe shop is?
Perfect. Excuse me, could you tell me where the nearest shoe shop is? Another possibility, excuse me, is there a shoe shop near here? Or is there a supermarket or a chemist's near here? What about recommending, asking someone to recommend a good clothes shop? How would you ask that?
Could you give me the name of a good clothes shop, please?
Excellent. Could you give me the name of a good clothes shop? What about asking for the nearest shopping centre or shopping mall in Juan's case?
Excuse me, could you direct me to the nearest shopping centre?
Ooh, good one. Could you direct me to the nearest shopping centre or shopping mall? Or just where's the nearest? Excuse me, where's the nearest shopping centre? I think you can use a direct question if you have polite intonation. Yeah. If your voice goes up very, very high and your question sounds like, excuse me, where's the nearest shopping centre, please? Mm-hmm. That'd be polite enough, I think.
And Craig, for those who want to revise indirect questions, the episode we did with Nicola was, what number was that?
I'll put a link to that in the show notes at inglespodcast.com/55. So if you go there, you'll find a link to Nicola's episode in which we spoke about indirect questions with her. Remember to be polite, though. Remember to use voice intonation to be polite, to say excuse me, say please, or perhaps I'm sorry to bother you. Mm-hmm. Excuse me, I'm sorry to bother you. Where's the nearest shopping centre?
Craig, would you use the words sir and madam?
Probably not.
No.
I think that's too formal.
Too formal?
Too formal. Would you?
Not often, no.
Yeah.
No.
I don't think I would. I'd be polite with intonation. I'd say please. I'd say thank you. Mm-hmm. I'd say, excuse me, where can I buy a memory card around here? Una tarjeta de memoria. Excuse me, where can I buy a memory card around here?
Would you say that the word sir and instead of madam, ma'am, are more commonly used in America than in the United Kingdom?
Yes, I think they are. Yeah, and I think, I'm not sure, but I think in particular states in the US, it's more common to say sir. Particularly in the South, I think, in the South of America. I'm not sure, but I get the impression that some areas of the United States use sir and ma'am or madam a lot more than others. How would you ask a shop or business, a qué horas abren? Y se cierren.
At what time do you open?
What time do you open or what time do you close? Because I think it's a common mistake to use the word timetable for Spanish speakers. So timetable you'd use for buses, trains, schools, universities. And you could say, what are your hours? Excuse me, what are your hours? What are your opening hours? What time do you open? What time do you close? Are you open all day, perhaps? Are you open on Sundays? And remember some general expressions such as, could you help me, please? Excuse me, could you help me? Could you help me, please? Or, excuse me, I'm looking for something. And do you take credit cards? Do you take this credit card? Etc. Would you like to add any other expressions to that, Reza?
I don't know if we've done it yet already. I may be repeating myself. But when you're in the shop and they ask you, can I help you? You can say, I'm just browsing.
I'm just looking.
Yeah, I'm just browsing. That means I have no intention of buying anything for the minute. Mm-hmm. I'm merely looking at your products.
Exactly. Can I help you? No, I'm just browsing. I'm just looking.
I'm sure all Spanish people have heard of a browser, or un browser, you might say, on the computer.
On the internet, yeah.
A browser browses. It just looks.
Yep, just looks. Google Chrome, Safari, Internet Explorer are browsers. They're just looking and searching for you. Okay, moving on to our weekly wind-ups. Reza, do you have a weekly wind-up this episode?
I certainly do, Craig. Something shocking, something highly dangerous, something which drives me round the bend.
I can't wait. I'm really, really keen to know what your weekly wind-up is this episode.
Well, I'll tell you what drives me round the bend. That means que me pone loco. That is me pone negro. You say
fastidiar, disgustar.
You know what they are, Craig?
What?
Angry bees.
Angry?
Or wasps, indeed.
Angry bees?
Or wasps. Oh, don't you hate them. I hate angry bees.
What exactly is an angry bee?
A bee? Just to clarify, because bee could be the letter A-B, it could be the verb to be, or it could be B-E-E, an insect which goes bzzz.
It's abeja, isn't it?
Abeja.
Yeah. Abeja.
So angry bees, or it could also be wasps, which are avispos, are they? Avispas?
Avispas.
Avispas, which are kind of like bees, but a bit bigger.
Yeah.
Wasps. Either of those, but the typical expression is angry bees. They drive me crazy. What are they getting all angry about? What are they all like? There you are, minding your own business on a summer's day. You don't bother them. You don't provoke them in any way, but they come over, they get into your food, they drop into your wine, your beer, they want to sting you. What did I do to them, eh? What did I do to them to deserve that?
So let me clarify something. So if a bee or a wasp is not angry, if it's a calm, gentle, normal bee, It doesn't bother you.
I love them, especially bees. Keep on making the honey. I love it. Can't get enough of it. Calm bees making honey. Great. I love you. But angry bees, unprovoked angry bees. What did I do to deserve your wrath?
Have you ever been stung by a bee? To sting is picar. It's irregular. So sting, stung, stung. Have you ever been stung by a bee?
Yes, and by wasps I have, yeah.
But bees die, don't they, when they sting you? They,
I think
they
that's
sting
what it is. Bees
die.
Bees die, but wasps survive after stinging.
That's
you.
Correct.
That's it. I got stung by a bee once. Incredible. It was just flying past, and it just brushed against my cheek.
Yeah.
Enough time to sting me. Yeah, and immediately my cheek swole up, and with the effect that I couldn't see with one eye.
Really?
It was quite frightening because I thought, oh my God, it stung me in the eye. And I went home and it turned out it hadn't. It had stung me in the cheek, but my cheek had swollen covering my eye.
Wow.
So I couldn't see.
Maybe you're allergic to them. Maybe you have an allergy.
No. It was just, I reacted quite badly, but I wouldn't go as far as to call it an allergy. But that's not why angry bees bother me. That was an accident that could have happened to anybody. But angry bees, particularly those who ruin picnics, they should feel ashamed of themselves.
Yeah, they should buzz off.
Nice one.
We have some feedback from Elisa from Finland, our friend in Finland. Hi, Elisa. She says, I've been listening to the episodes, interviews and videos, and to be honest, I'm absolutely addicted to them. You are a bit crazy, really.
What?
But good teachers anyway. I think that's a compliment.
I think so.
And she sent us a weekly wind-up. So Elissa's weekly wind-up is...
Let's hear it.
Listen, price tag stickers, which are unbelievably difficult to remove. Oh, no, says Elisa. Oh. Now, a price tag sticker is una etiqueta de precio that you get sometimes on things you buy that you can't take off. Or worse, if you take them off, you just get this really horrible sticky thing on the item that you've bought. I absolutely agree with Elisa.
Elisa, what a good choice. You're so right.
In fact, we've got some hangers here. Hangers are perchas for clothes that have stickers on. And I spend hours taking off the stickers with first my fingernails, and then with alcohol. Because you can't get the glue off. And I hate the idea that the hanger is sticky and then it goes on the clothes. Why do they do it?
They make some stickers too sticky.
They do?
Too sticky. That means they stick, se pegan, demasiado. They're sticky. Yeah.
So if you're listening, stop making sticky stickers so sticky. Do you hear? Enough already. We have an audio message now from Mamin.
Hi, Greg. Hi, Reza. This is Mamin. I just listened to your podcast and I can't stop laughing because you're so funny. I just listened about the thing that you hate the most and about the jumping the queue. And I hate to. I hate it. And one thing that I hate more than this is when the people stop in with his car in a second line. I don't know if it is correctly, but anyway, when they stop and they have one place to park 2 meters behind, I hate it. So that's all. Night. I'm going home and I'm going to have dinner and to sleep and everything. Kisses.
Always a pleasure to hear from Mamin when she sends in a voice message. Reza, that double parking. Parcando en doble fila is double parking, when people double park. Any thoughts?
I completely agree with you, Mamin. I'm surprised to hear that up there in the middle of the Pyrenees, you also get plagued with that, because that's where you live, isn't it? Up in the Pyrenees, there are double parkers even there.
Are there more than 5 or 6 cars in there? Does she have traffic up there? I mean, it's so it's so remote. It's so beautiful and quiet. I'm surprised that people double park.
Maybe it's people parking tractors, is it, Mamin? We don't know.
It's a big, huge problem in Valencia, and I hate it when people double park. And have you noticed, Reza, the more expensive the car, the more they double park?
Of course.
Yeah. It's kind of the right to double park if you have an expensive car.
Have you ever been tempted to scratch a car, particularly an expensive car that's double parked and causing a nuisance? I've never done it, but I have thought about it.
No.
I have thought about it.
I wouldn't do that.
Although I'm more bothered by cars that park in bike lanes and things like that.
Yeah, we've spoken about this before, when they block the bike lanes and when they park inconsiderately or park on the pavement and people, especially old people, can't walk along comfortably. So if you are a driver and you are guilty of this, just be careful. Just think, shame on you. Just think before you double park in the future. That's all we have this week.
Shall we park it there, Craig?
Shall we park it there, I think. If you want to send us an email or record your voice and send us a sound file with a comment, then please do. You can ask a question or, like Mamin, send us a weekly wind-up, and do so to craig@inglespodcast.com or to reza@belfastreza@gmail.com. And you can send us a voice message on our website at inglespodcast.com. You can also sign up to our email list at inglespodcast.com, because we'll send you an email every month. Actually, I sent one yesterday with all the podcasts we've made and published in the previous month. There's no reason to miss any of our podcasts. And again, if you'd like to support the show, please go to patreon.com/inglespodcast, where you can donate $1 per month to help us continue with the show, give you great podcasts, and hopefully also provide full transcriptions. So, until next episode, it's goodbye from me.
And it's goodbye from me.
Goodbye. The music in this podcast is by Pitts. The track is called See You Later.